God, worship the Lord, and give your heart to him. It's great to have family come from out of town and family in the church, family. It's great to see faces, new faces, old faces. It's just great to be together. Amen. Anytime we get together to give God praise and glory, that's awesome. And it's great to come together on a Sunday morning to worship God. So I want to pick up where we left off. We had 5 Sundays in January. And what we've been preaching about? What's our theme for the year? The God first life. The God first life. That's going to be the theme of the church, the theme for the year, that your life should be always about God. Should see God in you. And so let me go over a few things that we did in first part 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then we'll pick up in part 5 today. A God first life is a life of self-denial. A God first life is a life of obedience to God's words. A God first life lives a life of love and forgiveness. A God first life is full of the Holy Spirit and allows the Spirit to lead them. A God first life allows the Holy Spirit to drive. You let go and let God drive. That's a God first life. A God first life seeks and saves the lost. A God first life is totally committed to God. Total commitment. Not half-hearted. Not when I see you. Not when I feel like coming. But a total commitment to God in every area of our lives. A God first life is a prayer warrior. Oh my God, it's Hebrews 5:7, when Jesus offered up loud cries and tears to the one who could save him. And he was heard because of his reverent submission to God. We're supposed to pray like that. Is that your prayer life? You're heard because of your reverent submission to God. That when you pray to God, you know God hear you because how you live your life. That's a God first life. Jesus gave us that example. And we need to imitate that. Being a prayer warrior, you pray about everything. Take everything to God. There's nothing too big or too small for God. There's no circumstance or no situation you have that God cannot fix. It just amazed me how people use that for an excuse. How people say, you know, I'm struggling, man. Y'all just don't understand. Like, you, what you're going through, that you're the only person in the whole wide world out of 6 billion people that ever went through that. That there's nothing new under the sun. God has seen it all. You cannot fool God. You cannot hide from God. So we got to have a spirit to go to God in prayer about everything at all times and ask God to help our hearts. Prayer warriors. A God first life does not neglect God's words. Oh, my goodness. A God first life does not read the Bible every now and then. A God first life does not set God's word aside and only read when they're in trouble. But a God first life feels it's their appetite. God's word, they cannot imagine being without it. They wake up in the morning, go to bed thinking about God's words. It's their appetite. It's amazing to me how we remember to get up and go to work every morning. It amazes me how, well, most of our kids remember to get up and go to school in the morning. They forget because they don't want to go. But it's amazing to me how we wake up every morning, we remember to brush our teeth. We remember to comb our hair. We remember to clothe ourselves. But yet how easy it is for us to forget to read the word. How it just can go, the whole day go by and go, oh, I didn't read today. Oh, let me pray real quick. Father, so forgive me. Thank you. Love you. Well, I prayed today. Or I'm driving down the road. I didn't have time to pray. So let me do my quick drive-by prayer. Yet we make time for everything else, but we neglect God's words. We neglect making time to go to God in prayer. We've got to get rid of that mentality. That's how the world teaches and what the world do. We don't imitate the world. We imitate Christ. That's the God first life. A God first life is a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Being a Christian and God first in your life, you live a life. You're supposed to be living a life of sacrifice. Sacrifice for God. When it's time to go to Bible talk, you know, you might have had a long day. You might have worked. Bible talk's at 7. You might have worked to 6:48 and only have 12 minutes to get there. It shouldn't be, well, man, I ain't got, that ain't going to make it. Man, I ain't got time for that. I'm too tired. I'm going home. See, God first life, still make time for God no matter what time it is. Put forth every effort to give God his praise and glory. That's the God first life. We must not be sucked and tricked by Satan to neglect God. Neglect his spirit, his words, the prayer. We must go to God about everything. The poem I've been reading every week. Whenever I seek God first, I cannot believe my eyes. The first thing I can see is right through Satan's lies. When we have a God first life, we can see all of Satan's lies. When I put God's kingdom straight ahead of me, it opens up my heart to the way I ought to be. Whenever I put God first, I gain spiritual insight, and everything looks different in the newness of his light. Making his righteousness a priority in my life helps me to overcome anything causing me strife. When I seek God first, it keeps me on the narrow path and away from Satan's deceitful schemes. Yes, I need. Yes, you need. Yes, we all need a God first life. The time is now. You say, well, how do you get this thing? What do you have to do? Well, in part 5, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But I only have one point for part 5. And it's just simply this. A God first life is a house that is built by God, with its foundation being Jesus Christ, the rock. I said again, I didn't see everybody's pens writing. Well, church, how you know I'm not lying to you? How you know I'm not making it up? In Acts, they said when Paul preached, they went back and double-checked on him. Well, I ain't nothing compared to Paul. So you better be double-checking on me. How you know I'm not trying to scheme and get your money? Or plotting against you? Or trying to lead you down a path that you shall not go? The only way you would know is that you got to learn how to read your Bible. You got to get in the Word. You got to let the Word of God challenge you to be different. I don't want to build a church that they go to church and only do what the preacher tells them. Or only listen to the preacher. That person won't last. But you give me the man or woman who listen to the preacher, submit to the spiritual authority because they know the Word of God. And when he preaches, they can go look for themselves and gain even more convictions. That's who we need to be. Amen? Amen. A church that gets in God's word. I was talking to the high, and they're so glad we're still here. But I told them, God has brought us Vaughn. I don't know how long you're going to have me. Because he don't help us find, he don't convert a realtor who's looking. But we're going to enjoy every moment we're here. Amen? We're going to take advantage of these moments. Whether we're here or somewhere else, we're going to still be the same. A church that gets in the Word of God. A God first life. So let me give it to you again. A God first life, told you I have one point, is a house that is built by God. Is your house built by God? Your body, has God built that? With its foundation being Jesus Christ. So you might can get away and answer the first one. Yeah, God built me. But is your foundation Jesus Christ? The rock. That's what I want to talk about. Turn with me to Psalms 127, verse 1. Psalms 127, verse 1. Listen what God says here. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. So he says here, unless God builds that house, the builder labor in vain. What you're doing is in vain unless God built you. Is God building your house? We are the house of the living God. Is he dwelling in your house? Is he in your heart? The house that you walk around with, the house that you take care of and shelter, the house that you clothe, is it built by God? You wake up in the morning, you brush that house teeth. You comb that house hair. You try to look spiffy before you go to work. You try to prepare all that you do, but are you preparing that house to be with God all day? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Let me show you a little something else about this house. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Is Jesus Christ our rock that we build our house upon? Is he our foundation? Because the rains and the storms are going to come towards you. Trials and tribulation is going to come. But when it comes, the house that you've been taking care of, will it stand or will it fall? The only way your house is going to stand if it's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. If it's built on anything else, church, it's on sand. If it's built on relationships, if you come to church because you like people and you just like to have fun, you want to think it's a social club, you just want to go and, you know, you just love to go to the party because we like the party now. Don't get me wrong. If it's built on that, when you can sit here, so that way you got to take off right back to work, whatever you got to do. It's good to have you here. This is our brother that works for the Hyatt, so he has to come in for lunch and then take off to go back. And so, amen, so that way you can take right off. He's got to time his watch, make sure he's not late. Yeah, don't be late now because you're a Christian. Be back on time. You're a Christian now. You got to do it right. Amen. They want to set a good example because you want them to do the same. So your house, your foundation, what is it built on? See, because if it's built on the world, it's going to crash. If it's built on Jesus Christ and his words, it'll stand. See, what is your house built on? What sustains you? What motivates you? You know, this house, we got to take care of, don't we? We got to watch it. You know, I'm working out twice a week with Dan and Vaughn, getting up early in the morning. Some mornings, I don't feel like getting up. That alarm clock go off, I'm like, man, Dan on lost his mind. Why we can't come up with something else? Why we got to get up 5:45? But you have to push through, because remember, the living sacrifice. I don't want to be an overweight preacher. I want to be an example for those around me. So I got to push through. And so I got up the other day and got there early. I'm thinking, well, I beat Dan here, man. I could take a little cat nap. But then I got scared because I think if I fall asleep, I stay asleep in the car. So I said, Lord Jesus, give me strength, power. Father, help me build this house. I want to make it right. 6:35 came. I'm like, where's Dan at? Oh, snap. I said, I know Dan ain't late. So I get out the car and I look inside the window. And I'm peeping in there. Dan on the treadmill. I say, oh, Lord, this Joe, he snuck by me. I go and I say, Dan, he said, man, I've been here. I said, oh, Lord, Jesus, do we need to push it back some? Because we try to take care of this house God given us. But we must not only take care of it physically, you got to take care of it spiritually. Spiritually. So you know what happened after we got taken care of physically? Sometimes we be thinking, we're done. It's 7:30. Vaughn, I'm going to work. Man, Dan, now we go. We might spend another hour just in the Word, early in the morning, talking about Jesus. Where are we spiritually? How are we doing with our wives? Where are we? What's going on in our lives? What's the challenge of his job? What did he need me to pray for? And then we pray. We go to God in prayer. See, who are you getting with to help build your house spiritually? See, sometimes we get with the wrong people that has nothing to do with God, and you can't build your house spiritually. The world start building your house. Who are you getting with to help you build your house? Even in my own household, I make sure when my wife come home, we pray. When she leaves, we pray. When she goes to bed, we pray. Because I'm trying to build my house spiritually. Who you? What are you doing in your household? How often do you pray with your spouse? Do you get in the Word of God when things are not going good? Even with my children, I want to make sure they're doing well spiritually. And when they're not in line with God, we get in the Word. I'll tell you about that later. I got some thoughts on that one. But what, how are you building your house? What material are you using? What kind of material are you using? Love, convictions, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. Are you using deceit, slander, gossip, lying, deceit? How are you building your house? What material do you use? It's very important we use spiritual material. Because if you use the world material, you're building a worldly house that will crash. Are you with me, church? We must gain these convictions. What does your house look like? See, and you got to make sure your house stay new. Don't let it become old and dusted because you can't remember last time it was spiritual. You got to keep God in it all the time. You got to stay new. And to get your house on the right track, you got to make sure you've done the things God told you to do. Like, turn with me to Romans 6, verse 1. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized in Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore baptized with him through baptism into his death, and that death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. See, this is the house God's talking about. We're new. We got a new life. It doesn't matter that some of us have been baptized longer than others. My house still new. Just because you've been baptized a few weeks and I've been baptized 30 plus years, my house still clean. Filled with the Holy Spirit. What about your house? Some of you have been baptized, your house don't got dirty. I love what Solomon showed, those filthy rags. You don't allow sin to creep back in. The dust under the table, all the little nasty things are going back into your house. It doesn't look new anymore. Your life doesn't look new anymore. We can't allow Satan to do that to us. Satan is slick, and he'll play a game on you. Before you know it, your house is dirty. Keep it clean. Wake up in the morning and go to the Holy Spirit and say, help me clean that thing under the table there, Holy Spirit. Hey, right on here. See that dust under there? Help me get open about that lie I told the other day. Oh, see that? See this over here? Oh, Holy Spirit, help me with this one. Oh, yeah, I cheated on my tax. Help me get open. Oh, you see? Oh, yeah, I've been impure, lusting after women. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me with that one. Help me keep my house clean. Don't let it get dirty. That's the God first life. That's the house God's talking about. Is your house clean this morning? You know how I can tell if your house clean or not? It is obvious. You know how I can tell? Watch this. Turn to Acts 3:19. Watch this. This is how I know if your house clean. See, most of you tell on yourself. Your house dirty. It stink. Got dirty drawers everywhere. If you tell on yourself. Filthy rags everywhere. Boogers flying everywhere. Let me show you. Because when your house clean, you have this. Look at Acts 3:19. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. You know what refreshing is? It's a joy. It's that genuine joy from God. When your house is clean, woohoo, look out. You come to church, you can't help, you can't wait to sing. Oh, when you hear the song, you don't even know the song. You just sing it. I don't care. I love it. What's the song? Oh, I don't know. I'm just going to sing. Because your house clean. And it don't matter if you're singing deep down in my heart or go to God's unchanging. It don't matter if the verses change and he slows it down or he speeds it up. It doesn't matter to you because your house is clean. And you're going to smile at everybody. You're going to love up on everybody. But when your house dirty, oh, you can't even look up. Hold to God. I'm trying to hold on. Y'all just don't understand. I'm trying so hard. So I look, oh, somebody looking at me. Oh, Lord Jesus, let me look down. Because the house ain't clean. And then when you sing, nobody can hear you. Let me move my lips so you think I'm singing. I look around and say, man, I see people listening. I don't hear no sound coming out. And then they might be singing, rejoice in the Lord. Oh. And then you get close to them. Rejoice, and you closer you get. Oh, what the world's going on up in here? See, but when your house is clean, it don't matter how you sound. When your house is clean, it just doesn't matter how you look. When your house is clean, you will look foolish. You will stand up on a table and get it on. You don't care what they think of you because your house is clean in God. It doesn't matter. You don't care. You got a clear conscience. You just want to get it on. And you want to, where y'all eating next at? Who, man, is there anybody's birthday nearby because we just need to go party? And you want to get in the Word of God. You want to share with those. You want to love and build others up because your house is clean. See, where's your house this morning? Is it clean? Have you repented? Are you celebrating? Are you full of joy? Can you not wait to read your Bible? Is your love for God is beyond anything you've ever felt in your life? You got that fuzzy feeling. You're not worried about if God give you a man because you got God. You're not worried about if God give you a woman because you got God. Is God enough? When your house is clean, my God is enough. It don't matter if you ever marry. But praise the Lord if you do. It doesn't matter if you ever find a man or a woman. It doesn't matter because you got God. God is enough. And that's when God can bless. When he truly is enough for you. You're not counting. I mean, I ain't been on a date in 28 days or 3 months and six days and 5 hours and 2 minutes ago. I ain't been on a date in so long, man. It's been years. Be exaggerating. Years. Well, why are you not taking a date every day with God? Why God is not enough? And then we'll try to, man, y'all understand, man. If I had more people, more options, more chances, I'll do better. No, you wouldn't. You'll find another reason, a sorry excuse to do bad. See, when God is enough, it just doesn't matter what's going on around you. Oh, Lord, you're just full of fire. Let God be enough. Fill him up in your house. Love him like this. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Oh, look what my God says. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. He says this. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Why do we like testing Jesus? Let me ask this question. Have you ever tested Jesus before? Raise your hand if you think you tested Jesus before. Man, every one of your hands should have went up. By the way you live your life, you be testing Jesus all the time. It's amazing. And most times we fail the test. It's just amazing we're alive. I'm always humbled by that scripture says, he without sin cast the first stone. Pull the plank out your own eye so you can see the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye. Now, we can't use those for excuses to sin. And we can't use that for excuse not to point the sin out to your brother. Because people like to say, don't judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, you shouldn't be sleeping around with that woman. How is that judging you? I'm just using scripture to show you that you shouldn't be doing that. Late to work all the time. Why are you late to work? Why are you judging me? I'm not judging you. I'm asking a question. Why are you late to work? See, we try to, we get confused about scriptures. No, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron so that one man should sharpen another. We're supposed to hold each other accountable. Most people don't like accountability. But how else can we keep our house clean? We must keep our house clean. We must help each other. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we all would like to know that answer, wouldn't we? We do. We have the answer right here. We just got to read it. Don't neglect it. What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You've answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. I love that. Jesus said, you answered correctly. You love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and I love it with all your mind. You want to keep your mind pure and holy? Have your mind centered on Jesus. Keep your mind, your heart, your spirit centered on Jesus. You know this lie about the devil made me do it? No, you just gave into your evil desires. You got to keep your mind and your spirit centered on Jesus. No one can make you do anything. And we got to be aware of all of Satan's schemes. Stay ahead of him. Know that he's always plotting to get you. Stop believing your children always tell you the truth. That's a lie by itself. Them rats gonna lie to you every chance they get, some of them. Why? Because they're sinful nature. They got to learn how to deny it. Hey, you haven't even learned how to deny your sinful nature yet. You haven't even mastered it yet. So if you haven't mastered it, you think your church has mastered it? You got to teach them. And the way you teach them, you got to be open with them. You got to teach them how to keep their house clean. When last time you confessed sin to them? When last time you apologized? When last time you just got open with them? So that they learn, oh, well, Mom, Dad, I need to tell y'all something. I ain't gonna never forget one time Michael sent me and Benita down to my, I need to tell y'all something. I said, oh, Lord, do I need a heavy chair and a strap to hold me in? And he was just wanting to get open. And he did. I ain't gonna confess his sin to you. He just got open about things, and he was young, and I was like, wow, okay. But he learned from his dad, apologized to his mama, and always getting open with them, and we had family devotion. Patrice Sauer talked us that this weekend. We would have family devotion, and I would get open in my devotional. And so they learned how to get open. I remember one time, the school called me and told me Michael stole the cookie. I said, my son, he was in elementary school. I said, he did what? Sir, you need to come to school. Your son stole the cookie. I said, I'm on my way. See, I know my son enough. Michael sin, if he going to sin, he going to sin big. Cookie small. When they told me he stole the cookie, I knew right then. That's a misunderstanding. Mike just ain't going to steal the cookie. Michael might have bet you just took that cookie. He ain't just steal it. So I said, let me just go find out what's going on. They called me over a cookie in the cafeteria. And so I go into Michael waiting on me. He said, Dad, I ain't stole no cookie. I said, all right, son, shh. Let them talk. Mike ready to start preaching, man. I ain't take no cookie. That cookie was just sitting there. I said, excuse me? He said, it was sitting there. So I said, explain to me, my son, now, because he going to tell me everything. How did he steal this cookie? Well, sir, he was walking through the line, and this cookie fell off this plate. from, you know, oh, you know how you walk through, you reach up, get the Jell-O off the thing that's in front of you, and you put it on your plate? Well, someone knocked the cookie down. So Michael looked at it and went, oh, that's my cookie there, man. No one knocked it down. He just started eating it. So in his mind, I ain't stole no cookie because I ain't taking from it. They fell down on my plate. I ain't stole no cookie. And so he gets in line. Lady said, you know, you just stole that cookie. No, it didn't, huh? That fell. I ain't put that cookie on my plate. And so we all start talking. I said, okay, son. And I had to deal with the lady. I said, lady, you went to the extreme. Now, you could have taught him how to. That's okay, son. That doesn't belong to you. So you should have just gave it back to me. He would have understood that immediately. But when you went off told him that he stole something, Mike thought he thought you lost your mind. He couldn't understand that. So that's why you had to call me, because you see him battling him back and forth. He looking you in the face telling you, I ain't steal nothing. You looking at him, I saw you take it. He's telling you, you ain't see me take nothing. It fell on my plate. And so I say, so you got to make sure he didn't understand it. And she says, I think you should spank him. I think you should. Woman, look here. Okay, time out. I understand what your point is. He was wrong for eating a cookie. I'm going to help him with that. But if there's nowhere in his mind he think he stole that cookie from you. It fell on his plate. He should have gave it back to you. So the principal said, Mr. Harris, that's a good point. Can you just take Mike and deal with him? I just deal with her. I said, yeah, thank you. I said, now, Michael, next time the cookie falls from the sky and fall on your plate, son, that doesn't mean it's from God. Ask, who does this belong to before you start eating, boy? He said, yes, sir. And he never did it again. But see, Sim, sometimes things happen around us, we like to start eating and tasting. And it's not from God. But it landed right in front of you. Whether you're at a gym and minding your own business, some girl come and say, hey, what's your name? Where you come from? My name is Mark. And you catch yourself going down a path you shouldn't go.
Yep.
Or vice versa. Sometimes Satan put things right in front of you to allow you to choose, because he can't make you take it. He's trying to get you to dirty your house.
Yep.
You sure it all right? Because I'm feeling it right now. He's trying to get you to dirty your house. You got to keep it clean. So when Satan put it in front of you and tempt you, what you should do? Remember, he tempted Jesus. You got to counter with the word of God.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Give God some glory. You got to counter him and say, wait a minute now. Sometimes things look too good to be true. You shouldn't go bite that apple. Literally. Put it back and keep it moving. The Bible says you test the spirit. Pray about things. Don't just go dirty up your house. Keep it clean. Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Talk about a God first life is a house that is built by God. Is your house built by the Lord? With the foundation being Jesus Christ. Well, let's look. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to what it says here. Dear friends, let us love one another. Now, I didn't know my brother Roy was going to talk about love this morning. But God knew. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. See, your house need to be full of love. No matter what goes on around you, your house got to be full of love, compassion, caring for one another, no matter what goes on. See, you can't just love those who are easy to love. And you shouldn't be just loving those who love you back. But what about those who are not easy to love? And what about those who don't love you back? What about those who like to say mean things and talk behind your back? Are you praying for them and loving them? Because they are God's children also. They're just lost. And maybe the only way they can clean up their house, if they see that your house is clean. Love them. Don't fall into Satan's trap when someone hates you or disrespects you, and you got to get defiant or prideful. in your mind. When someone tells a lie, you got to tell a lie back on them. When someone backstabs you, you want to get them back. See, that's Satan's trap. You got to learn to love and forgive. Love each other. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. My God. This is how we know we love, because we love God and then we obey God. See, when you don't obey God, you can't love. There's no love in you. You can't say you love God, but you're not going to obey him. In fact, this is love, verse 3 says, for God to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. God is not trying to burden you to tell you to be pure. God is not trying to burden you to tell you to tell the truth and be honest. My God is not trying to burden you for you to be a God keeping your house clean. He's trying to make a way for you to be with him. And if I ask all of y'all right now who want to go to heaven, every one of you raise your hand. But are you keeping your house clean so you can get to heaven? Because your house is going to say it all. We've got to teach our children not to be deceitful. We got to teach our spouses and one another to love God with all our hearts and have a God-first life. We must teach. Stay in God's words. Trust God and not yourself. Trust his words. Don't give in to your own evil desires. Don't give in to your selfishness and your greed. Keep your house clean and trust the Lord. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Right next door. So we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. Now, that last verse sent chills down my back. In this world, we're supposed to be like who? Who? Then why are we always being like ourselves? Why are we always giving in to ourselves? God says, man, no, be like Jesus. Hey, if we all live like ourselves, we'll be a mess. We got to stop. Don't allow self to lead and control anymore. Be like Jesus. Do as Jesus does, not as you want to do. Learn to trust God over yourself. Be like Jesus, not like Mike. I used to love that commercial because it had a nice tune to it. You remember it? I want to be like Mike. And it had a whole song. And I started thinking, man, we should be singing these songs to Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. What are we doing talking about being like Mike? We need to have that heart for Jesus. And watch what my God do for you. Amen. We got to learn not to give in to this world. Look at 2 Timothy. Nope. Before we go to 2 Timothy. Oh, I got one more in 1 John I want to look at. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Because I don't want us to be, we don't want to be like this world. Look at this. Listen to this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, wait a minute. He says, do not love this world. And then I love what he says, and do not love anything in this world. You better understand what we're reading here. Do not love anything in this world. That's what he said. If anyone loved the world, the love for the Father is not in them. You love this world, man, I can't wait to party. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. You'd rather get up and go spend time with people than come to church. You're in trouble. You can't get caught up in this world. Do not love this world, anything in this world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires will pass away, but whoever does the will of God will live forever. My God, my God. We got to be striving to do God's will. Brothers and sisters, we must let this world go. We in this world, but we must not be of this world. We're just in it. Our young people, you're going to have to learn how to be in this world and not be of this world. UNF, you better learn how to do this. My students, you got to learn how to do this. You cannot get caught up in the weed smoking. And, man, you better learn how to fill yourself up with the word of God and not with that mess. Don't get caught up in that. You say, Pastor, how you know how to do that so good? I don't know. I ain't never smoked in my life. Seen it on TV. And I don't want to try it. I just want to stay high on Jesus. I don't want to get high on this world, this mess. I want to be high with the Holy Spirit. My high is better than that high. You got to really come to grips with this. Don't get caught up in this world. Don't get caught up because everybody at school got a boyfriend. I ain't got one. Everybody got a girlfriend. I want one. Just get Jesus and let him be enough. Everybody around you in the immorality where everybody else doing it. That doesn't mean you supposed to do it. Remember, don't do what they do. Be like Jesus. That's what God has called us to be. And as a church and as a body of Christ, as your house, you can do this. But not without Christ. You cannot do it without Christ. Now turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 3. I love getting in God's word. We got to clean this house. We got to make sure our house has a solid foundation. Our house belongs to God, not ourselves. And we got to live our lives as we know that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Listen to this. Come on, I'm coming to the end. Hold on. Listen to this. But mark this. Oh, look what Jesus says. He goes, mark this. Like he's going to tell you something. He's going to tell you something now. He says, mark this. So have you marked it? Are you obeying the Bible? I start culling that joke. Yeah, like, because it says, mark this. But mark this. So let's read. Let me see. I see some yellow. Yeah, I see some underline. Yeah, color that mama. Because he said, mark it. Obey God. He says, mark this. So let's read what he's telling you to mark it. Because he ain't calling my name Mark. He ain't saying, Mark, I'm talking to you right now. Even though he's talking to me. He's talking about mark your Bible. Mark, pay attention. His mark means pay attention to this. So let's read. But mark this. My yellow mark is so I can. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Whoa. Does that sound like anybody we know? Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow, you love all the good things, man. We're going to party. Having a form of godliness, trying to pretend they got Jesus, but denying his power. Have nothing to do with such people. My God. God said, don't you even implement yourself around people like that. We must gain convictions, brothers and sisters. Amen. They are the kind who worn their way into homes and gain control of gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. Man, God said, we must not put ourselves around people like that. And I warn y'all, I'm going to tell you something, I warn you. People who leave and don't want to come to church no more or try to find a church where they're comfortable for, that's because they got evil desires they don't want to let go. And we like to somehow run backwards. Some of you like to go backwards and run down those who have left. They don't want to be around holy people. They want to be around people that makes them feel comfortable. It is scary when those who like to go somewhere else or find somewhere else to go and you running them down because they're comfortable around you. Are you slanderous? Are you playing a form of holiness? That's what God just said. They have a form of holiness. But they don't live. They don't obey God's power. They don't obey God. It's just a form of it. Who do you surround yourself with? Who do you call best friends? It's a scary thing when people who go to church and their best friends are those who don't go to church. Who are not caught up in the Holy Spirit. And they're their best friends. And God says we're supposed to have nothing to do with such people. We got to be careful who we call best friends or who we like to go hang around all the time and get our drink on. or I smoke on, or I party on. That's not Christianity. Or I gossip on, or I slander on. Now, I say this to you out of love, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart. So help me or let me die. I won't tolerate such people. I'm going to obey the Bible. Some of you won't be here by the end of the year. God's going to replace you and give us more, and we're going to keep on going. But I'm going to be here because I'm going to obey the Bible. Some of you got to change the way you live your life. Change the people you go kick it with. Right. If you can't see that when the Bible clearly teaches that, you won't make it. You won't make it. You don't want to be keeping company with slanderous people, gossipers. People don't have a form of holiness, but they ain't holy at all. They know God, but they ain't reading no Bible, and they ain't trying to obey no Bible. That cannot be who you surround yourself with. It is scary. When I ask some of you, who help you spiritually? And you can't name nobody in this room. That says everything I need to know about you. It's just a matter of time. Or, man, I'm waiting on people to call me. Well, who you calling? I've been preaching 30 plus years. I ain't never waited on nobody to call me. Before I became a preacher, I didn't wait on nobody to call me. I initiated because I wanted help. And didn't care if I initiated 144 times. I'm going to keep initiating. I never got in worried about if somebody called me. I called them last. When are they going to call me? I never done that in my life. When I needed help, I call. And when I want to be around spiritual people, I call them. Because I want to be around them. I try to lead out. A sister encouraged me the other day, not long ago, Barbara Boswell, who is out in Mexico. They're coming back for our retreat. She said, I've known you 25 plus years. And that's one thing I've always loved about you. Thank you for keeping up with my husband. That you don't wait for him to call you. No. Why? I don't have it. Man, I called you 8 times over the last month. You called me not 1 time. Over the last year, I called you 28 times. You called me 1 time. Why do I want to keep the records of that for? It's not my concern. I'm calling because I want to be helped spiritually too, and I love that brother. Now, he calls me just as much as I call him. I'm not trying to say he don't call me. But she did share that with me. I don't worry about whether you call me or not. Do you live like that? Man, that brother ain't never called me, so what am I going to call him for? That sister on here, she don't call me. What am I going to hang out with them for? How do you live your life? That's not a house of God. That's not love at all. And you need to be calling people and trying to give it people who can help you spiritually. Now, if I ever hear and think anybody's a gossiper and slanderer, I'm going to deal with you biblically. I'm coming at you with Matthew 18. I don't have no desire to expel anybody, but I'm going to obey God's words. God's word is more important to me than you. Amen. The more I obey God, the more I can love you. But when I stop obeying God and be worrying about what you think of me, I'm doomed. And I'm not going to hell for you and nobody else. Amen. I want you to carry the same convictions. I love my brother and sister no matter what, and I'm going to be there for them. If I see something wrong, I'm going to share with them. Because I love them. Because I care. If they don't receive it right, you know what? I've talked to many people don't receive right. Man, you lied. What I lied about? Because I told you shouldn't be doing that? Were you talking about me? No, I'm not. I'm just trying to help you. I've experienced all kind of craziness. I just love them, and they've come and go. It's okay. What about you? Can you be helped? Do you want help? Can you do what you saw Saul would do Friday night? You know why Saul was able to do that? Because Saul got a house that allows those around him to help him spiritually. I know who Saul's best friends is. I think I'm one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. I ain't want to speak. I want to know. I think I'm one of their best friends. I'm one of them. And they're mine. But you know who my best friend in the whole world in this room is? After Jesus? I said in this room, didn't I? I like that. Now see how you held your preacher accountable? That's good. In the flesh? Nah. It's Benita. But in the spirit, it's Jesus. Because of that, man, we can have a better relationship. Are you with me? Let's read on. Church, this is awesome. This is good. Look at Hebrews 10, 24. Oh, we're coming. Hebrews 10, 24. It says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another in all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left. Man, we can't receive this truth and then keep sinning deliberately. But only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejects the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay it, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We don't want to fall in God's hands, church. We want to be people who obey God. We want God to be glorified and lifted up. We don't want to be a people who know the truth and then don't live by the truth. We don't want to be a people who know the truth and then deliberately do wrong. We must not be a people like that. You cannot know the truth and then don't deliberately sin and then want mercy from God. You're going to fall in the hands of the living God. We have learned the truth. Don't you deliberately go on sinning. Keep your house clean. Look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't throw it away. Now, hold on. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. God says, my righteous ones will live by faith. We must not shrink back. Brothers and sisters, we got to ask God to open our eyes so we can see Satan's schemes, see his plots, know the pitfalls around us. Believe in God. Surround yourself with holy people. Hold on to God's words. Hold on to the word of God for dear life and not shrink back in it. I want to close by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. A God-first life is a house that is built by God. Is your house built by God? With the foundation being Jesus Christ, the rock. A house that in Romans 6 says you got to be baptized and have a new house, a new life. We must get clean out of our house and keep it new. Don't let Satan destroy our house and turn it into filthy rags. No one likes to live in a smelly, stank, filthy house. Dirty dishes. Food that's been there a year. Mold everywhere. Stench deep. You open the door and it can kill you. It smells so bad. Don't let that be your house. You want your house when the door opens, it smells new. It smells like God. Flowers and roses. Because you've given your life over to Jesus. And we got to help and teach our children to do the same. Turn with me, Deuteronomy, as I close. I want to read some of this. Oh, Lord, I love this. Chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach. Verse 1. You to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you. and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates. My God. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities you did not build. God said, I got things to give you. Raise your children right. Put it on their foreheads. See, I love what Patrice and them gave us, devotions for our family. Are you impress them on their hearts? Put it on your heart and then put it on their foreheads. Teach them about Jesus. You know, how many times have your children ever asked to go spend a night anywhere? Raise your hand. Raise your hand if your children ever asked that. Yeah, they're going to always ask that. My kids just ask all the time. You know what I used to do? I told them all the time, listen, let me let you know something. I don't know that family. So until I know that family spiritually, you're going to be standing, they can come to my house because they know who I am. I don't know who they are. I want to impress things on you. I don't want you to go somewhere and they impress it on you. I don't know if that's a child molester. You say, man, pastor, isn't that exaggeration? No, because I was molested. And my mother did not know. And yet we turn our kids over to people we know nothing about them. Don't you dare do that. And I just tell my children, oh, they used to cry. Get to crying. You better help them clean it up. Because you ain't going. I don't know what's going on. Now, when I know what's going on, I know it spiritually. You can go. You know how many people I knew was going on and knew spiritually? Only those in the family of God. Because the people I didn't know didn't want me to know their lives. So why would I send my kids over there? Why would I hand them over to Satan that way? What are they going to teach my children? And I never, they said, Dad, but they want to go to church, but they better get to church with me. Because I know, unless I know the church you go to and know what they teach, why would I send you somewhere that I don't know? And if I didn't know, and I know they don't teach the truth. Once saved, always saved. Get sprinkled and you're saved. Why would you do that to your children? All you're going to do is confuse them. When they get ready to try to study the Bible, they're going to be confused. You better have a standard in your household. Some of you don't have standards. They're not godly standards. They're the world standard. And some of you men, you brothers, you husbands, you better stop being cowards. You better stand up to the gospel of truth. I'm grateful I had a wife that submitted to my authority. But if she didn't, I would have taught her the word of God. No, I probably never married her. But if she didn't, I would have taught the word of God. And say, babe, you got to follow my lead on this. But he never fought me on spiritual decisions. That if something was wrong, she'll sit down and we'll go through the Bible together as a family. She said, honey, now look, this is what I see in this. Okay, to God be the glory. Let's go this way. But if I choose to go a different way and it didn't work out, she didn't go, nah, 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 nah. I'm glad you failed because you should have listened to me. Or she didn't wish that I failed. Church, we got to be a body of Christ that works together. And let God's words, everything that you goes on in your household, the Bible teaches how to deal with it. All you have to do is open the Bible and read it. Raising your children, he teaches you. Why would he tell you to impress on them God's word right on their forehead? Teach them how to obey me. The world can't teach your kids how to obey him. The world teach your children how to obey the world and want the desires of the world. Want a new car, new bike, new everything. Always want something new. The world teaches to be want-want kids. Always want something. But we're supposed to teach them not to be want-want kids. Teach them that, hey, don't get caught up in Christmas not for you always getting something. We got to teach our children. We! I just take Brittany and Michael and sit them down. It used to drive Michael crazy. My dad, can we help you give you that? No. We got to do some reading. We got to make sure you understand what that's about. It ain't about you getting something, son. And then it got, and when I impress it on them, They would beat me if they needed downstairs. They'd be sitting there with their Bible, like, what took y'all so long? Let's get in the Word. Okay. They ain't nowhere near the gifts. Now you say, now they're trying to trick me and get in the Word real fast so I can get to the gift. So I had to think about all that. But no, they're just getting the Word. Let's go. And we would have a ball. And when we finally opened the gifts, it meant something totally different than what the world thought. We try to teach them everything we can. My kids are not perfect, and neither am I. But so help me God and let me die, ask them. Everything we ever did, I try to teach from the Bible. I never use my standard. And when I use my standard, my wife will say, honey, is that your opinion? Is that what God wants us to do? I'm like, woman, I think it's what God would show me. Come on, let's read this together. Okay, well, hold on. Give me a minute. I got to go find it. Give me a minute. And then when I don't find it, okay, I get it. And we'll work through it. So we try to always impress on them that way. You got to do that. I remember when I spanked Michael one time, or I spanked Brittany once. My wife said, okay, honey, you spanked him. Now Brittany's going to need a whole lot more love than Michael. You can wear Michael out. He's going to get happy and come back and hug you. That's a girl. That's totally different. You can't treat Michael the way you treat Brittany. And I'm like, okay, so, man, I just want to clean her nose and come say she's sorry, let's move on. Well, baby, you're going to have to help her with all that. And I remember going back to Brittany and making sure I hugged and explained to her why she got a spanking. And we prayed. I mean, it's a lot of work. Brittany was sometimes on spirit teaching. It was a lot more work with a girl than it is a boy. Mike, I can wham him out. And Michael go cry. He come home. Dad, let's go play some ball. Brittany, I can wear out. Brittany, man, her feelings hurt for a minute. I got to win her back over. Man, Brittany be like, looking at me like, oh, you want a hug? What? You just spanked me. And you want me to hug you. And I'm like, baby, you know, can let Dad explain why you got to spank it? But it have to be so hard? And so I had to do a lot more talking with Brittany through that. But then we would take time and teach the Word. Michael, I can tear him up. We can go play ball, and then I can be teaching while we're playing ball. But we had to make time for it. Are you making time for your household? Are you making sure your house is clean? Are you putting the time into it? Using God's words to clean up that nasty closet, the nasty cabinet, the nasty dishes. Because they all won't fit in that dishwasher if you don't clean it regularly. You only put so much in it. So you got to clean this house with God's word. Are you with me? Amen. We must grow in these convictions. And God says, I will bless you beyond your imagination. I will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in the Lord and do good. Psalms 37, 3 through 7. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to him. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn. The justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still for the Lord